Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
To a spoiler-ridden episode of Fireteam Chat. I'm Destin Laguerre, your host. Joining me in the studio today is CJ Gibson.
What's up?
Fran Mirabella.
Hey, Guardians.
And Sean Finnegan.
Chomp, chomp, I'm back.
Everybody is back, and we are talking about Warmind today. We're going to be talking about our campaign thoughts, what we think about the social space, what we think about the sandbox and exotic adjustments, and, of course, PvP, which I'm sure CJ has played a little bit about.
Absolutely.
A little bit of. I'm sure there's not too many spoilers there, but let's get right into it. So we've all finished the campaign of Warmind. Now, it's about 2 hours long, maybe two and a half if you're taking your time, but I want to get everybody's impressions. You guys can probably read my review in progress on IGN right now, but CJ, what was your impression?
So I want to let Sean go first, because he had the hot take, and I want to...
That's a reductive analysis of what I would say about the campaign.
Maybe.
I felt very meh about it, you know, like... The problem I've had with Destiny, like I think most Guardians have had with the game over the last like year, is that Destiny has kind of descended into this like state of mediocrity, and I think this campaign is just more of that. Like, it's not bad. It's just not the resurgent comeback that I was hoping for.
I'm nodding to say that I've heard you, but I think you're wrong.
You liked it? You thought it was great?
I think the campaign is definitely...
Like, what did we even do?
Is a marked
you awoke Rasputin.
Dramatic improvement over Curse of Osiris.
Yes.
Now that is comparing
okay, yeah,
it to that.
That's a really low bar to clear.
Okay. But just for clarity, because I feel like if you haven't touched it yet, that's kind of important news. It's way better than Curse of Osiris.
I don't know. I was hoping for way more. Like, if you take a look at who, like, we've been hinting, there's been all these little hints in the Destiny lore about who Rasputin is since the very beginning of Destiny, not even just Destiny 2. Like, he's this rogue Warmind, like the Warminds were these AI species that the humans designed during the Golden Age to defend humanity, and then at some point something went wrong, and the most powerful of them is like this thing that can't be trusted, or can he? Mm-hmm. He's this powerful weapon, he's the most powerful being in the universe, whatever, right?
That's the reveal we got.
But the campaign
he talks to us for like 2 seconds and is like
he confirmed he's all those things you just said.
Yeah, by okay, indication. He's just like, I am the thing they said.
So the campaign is the reveal of Rasputin, and it's the missions afterward where you learn a little bit more about him, how him and Anna Bray are going to be working
after the campaign. Oh, I haven't done those.
So like when you do all the adventures, the adventures are actually quite interesting.
And I've done a handful of them. And I'm sure
– side quests. And the quest that you get immediately afterward, you kind of work in tandem with the Warmind.
Yeah, and I've done
– I enjoyed that aspect.
And I did too. Like, I've done a handful of the adventures, and I think that – I actually think that adventures are cool because they give us little story pieces to, like, add to the main narrative. But that main narrative for me kind of fell flat. Like, I was hoping for some awesome HAL 9000 moment, and we kind of get that, and then I'm like, oh, man – like
here it comes.
It's about to hit the fan. Like, oh my god! Like, we let this Warmind go. Like, Rasputin's awake, and now he's like talking to us, and that's where it ends. And I was like, no! Like, why is it got to be like that? Like,
you want more? You want more to happen with?
Yeah, I know. And me and Fran were actually talking about this kind of just off the air. But like, when his point was like, when has that ever been a focus for Destiny, like a big campaign? And yeah. I recognize that that's not the case. It is for me, though. I personally, as a Guardian, want really strong storytelling and campaign elements, because that's what initially engages me in the game. And so when I don't get that,
see, I like the gameplay. I play for the gameplay.
I mean, but we all recognize that the gameplay is good.
No, I mean, I'm being like, that is important to establish here, though. And I agree, by the way, some people really go in for that narrative. But as I listen through it, I feel like, yeah, we're a few years back having the same conversation.
Well
you
yeah,
expected
yeah.
a story moment, especially after all these years.
That's
that
the
really
word.
Has yeah. let you down. Like, on that, I'm like, I totally can see that. I agree with you. But I want to know what people thought of the gameplay, the missions, the waves of enemies, the boss.
I mean, I
boss.
Get that, but like yeah. how – yeah. It okay, but let's
the
talk about it.
The structure of the mission
of that, right?
is fantastic.
That's like, way better.
Yeah.
The boss Cyrus. Design was great. It was really, really intriguing. Sean needs his show notes back. He threw off the table.
You can borrow mine, dude.
I mean,
yeah.
off the
yeah, it's four things.
So that's
yeah.
the reason why I wanted Sean to go first. So just hearing you, that is, I think, going to be – totally the opinion going forward.
I think a lot of people are going to share that
for sure.
Like, that was Warmind after all these years?
Right. But I think Fran hit the nail on the head. Like, do you expect that from Destiny or not? Because I don't expect that from campaign Destiny anymore. I think initially I did.
Whether you expect it or not.
I don't have an issue with the storytelling like you guys do. I'm surprised to hear that you are all so negative about it, because actually,
hey, don't throw me in that boat. Bife might be, I don't know how he feels.
The story told within Warmind was interesting. You have Zavala, who's saying you probably shouldn't wake this thing up. You have Ana saying that we're going to wake it up. Well, because he doesn't know what it's going to do.
Yeah.
He says that pretty
powerful.
Yeah. And based on the lore from Destiny 1, we don't really know much about the Warmind.
Based on the lore from a different game we played 3 years ago, this is my thing. It's like,
but
during
it's
the campaign,
continuation of the story.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I played Destiny 1 as much as anyone else did, more than some people, and obviously not as much as some of you. But like, the whole time through the campaign, I'm like, what is Zavala's deal? Like, he clearly remembers that
jaded.
This thing, like, betrayed us or something at
well,
like,
think about it. It's through his whole, like, life, he's been betrayed by, yeah. like, things, and then, like,
and
everything goes to
I
crap,
get it, but the
and
whole
he's gotta
time.
He's got to pick it up all over again.
But, like,
yeah. I'd be a little nervous, too.
It's just, like, that whole part of his Zavala's distrust of Rasputin isn't fleshed out at all. It's just indicated throughout the whole time. He's like, I don't trust this thing. Why are you doing
this? I agree.
This thing?
It's not,
we can't trust this thing.
They
and at some point, I'm just like, dude, Rasputin's supposed to be the most powerful AI Warmind ever, and you don't recognize the importance that a weapon like that could be.
No,
in this
he's
fight.
Saying that he doesn't want to have to be like, excuse me, the tower's been destroyed again.
It's just
sorry, everybody.
I thought it,
my bad.
It's just so one dimensional.
It was really clear. Zavala's like, hey, you're wakening an atomic bomb.
Right.
Maybe you should, like, stop for 2 seconds
yeah.
and stop worrying about your family heritage and think about the implications.
It could attack us
and
kill everything.
I felt like that was made clear.
Yeah.
And
I think it's pretty simple. It's like,
yeah.
Ana has
that's
an emotional
point, though,
family
is
attachment.
That it's simple.
And
it's
he's
too
the guy.
Simple.
It's super simple. That's okay, good.
I
you
want it to be.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying.
Two
is
notes.
Like, I don't want it to be simple. I want it to be nuanced and subtle and awesome.
He speaks Russian. This is kind of complex.
Yeah, like that was
sounds
cool.
Cool.
He sounds
sounded
cool.
Amazing. Awesome.
Like Destiny, in terms of like its design, is always amazing. Like
yeah.
great well, art, I, great voice acting.
I don't mean to sound flippant, by the way. I agree with a lot of your points in that it is simple. It's two note, but I think it was reasonable. So I was just saying, I think it's reasonable that Zavala was like super skeptical. Mm-hmm. Like he's always that guy. He's like,
yeah.
hold on a second, this is gonna like ruin us all.
Yeah.
He's like.
Yeah, but I would have
him,
just loved to have seen
fate.
That explored more, because
yeah.
it would have
like,
added
led
levels.
Him to that?
Yeah, because like, what do we really know about Rasputin? Like other like. This campaign told us nothing more than we already knew about Rasputin. That's my problem, is like the little hints we've gotten about how he interacted with humanity in the past from all the way back to Destiny 1, none of that was added to.
Yes, it was. He talks about how it was used in the past by different factions
yeah, but that's
and
so,
how he wants to change it in the future.
But that's so one
and he's
note.
Saying, I'm going to help you and here's the reasons why I'm going to help you.
But he didn't give us those reasons.
Yes, he does.
He
the
just
very
gives
end.
Us this. No, he gives us yeah. this one note thing about like, I was being used in the past. Now I get to choose what I want to do. And it's like, okay. Well, how is that any different?
What
about you?
CJ
hasn't said much.
How long are we going to talk about the story?
Dude, this is fine.
Sean
this
didn't
fine.
Like the story.
Sean
I disagree with him almost entirely.
Really?
And I thought the story was pretty good. I thought it was one of the best, most cohesive stories that we have had in Destiny in a long time. And it was refreshing.
Like Rise of Iron.
The Taken King takes offense to you.
Yeah.
The Taken King was a well-constructed narrative?
Yeah.
King was actually Rise of Iron okay. was one of the most
Rise of Iron I think as well too just because of the way
even if the ending's a little
the end but even still the ending felt amazing when you're running out of there felt like a sense of like oh gosh am I going to survive and I didn't get that feeling here mostly
so there's a lot of there are those cool moments like if you want to talk about gameplay there are those cool moments in this campaign as well like I enjoyed playing with the what's the weapon called
Javelin.
Phoenix
yeah.
The javelin. The javelin is that what it is called?
Where you can charge it up and throw it.
Like I thought that was interesting. I thought the boss fight was pretty cool. But other than that, like other than those two things, like what really about the gameplay was that different than anything else you've already done in Destiny?
Well, the sandbox tuning made it more fun.
Yeah,
like running around with graviton lance and just watching explosions.
That sound
all over. That was incredibly rewarding.
That's not a campaign analysis.
You mean the design of each thing?
He wanted to talk about the gameplay of the campaign. And so there's nothing.
The worm encounter was really neat at the end. Yeah. The final boss, I really enjoyed that, and it actually fell on me, and I was like, "All right, whatever."
Did it actually fall? Yeah, did it kill you?
Yeah, it did.
I didn't know that.
It kept launching. You know how it launches you up into the air? It kept launching me into things above me, and I would die.
I kept
hitting the roof.
I like how the I call them witches. The wizard was constructed, how it was multifaceted, multi-phased, and you had like mini bosses throughout the encounter.
Yeah.
But that is a strike encounter part of the campaign. So it's a negative that they're just repurposing campaign missions and strike for me still.
As strikes. Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't enjoy that. And PlayStation, they get the only
exclusive
strike that's new. That's, come on.
Major bummer.
Yeah, that's weird. So we just get repurposed campaign content, and the PlayStation players are getting strikes.
I like that you said we as you're not a PS4 player.
Oh, I mean, I still am doing it. I actually logged on to grind up a little bit. And so
I don't know, man. I just feel like you're so jaded from playing so much Destiny, and I get the expectations, but on a core gameplay loop and a gameplay design, I personally felt I hopped onto Mars and I thought I was worried I was just going to be surfing around on brown hills and I wasn't really sure and the big buildings. And frankly, we've seen a lot of it. On one hand, it was cool to go back to when you're in those moments. I felt that sentimentality to Destiny 1. But going underground into the ice caves and stuff, I felt a real sense of wonder. There are some empty gaps between fights where I did feel like they were a little long.
Yeah.
But it's very pretty. I am playing on PC, so maybe that was embellished a bit. But I did feel kind of a sense of wonder in there. I felt I was fine with the Hive coming back. Again, a sense of nostalgia that came back to me as I was tearing through it with Crimson and whatnot. I felt good about the pace of it is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Whereas with other campaigns previously, it just has felt a little off. And so I think at least on that merit, I had fun. I'm looking forward to playing through it again with another character, not as if it's this incredible thing that's never happened before, but through the lens of I like this style of gameplay. I like shooting stuff. Bungie's core gameplay loop on gunplay is awesome. So I felt good.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's the most amazing game in the world or anything on its own, but the 2 hours felt good to me. Whereas it was so different before. Well, that's all I wanted to point out.
It felt like Destiny.
Us three have talked a lot. I really want to hear from CJ, who hasn't said too much. So what do you want to say about the
30-second take? I actually got to the part where I said, okay, the boss mechanics are really well done. I wish there was more of that. I played it as a single player person.
Oh,
that's the way to do it. Playing it with more than two people. Just tear through everything. There's it feels too easy. So when you're playing a single player, the wizard one.
I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it a lot too. I didn't actually know the worm could kill you. Did you die?
We had defeated it. It was myself and Gamma, and the worm fell on me.
That's crazy. At the very end.
Yeah, at the very end. It was kind of funny. But like, it's still a half state.
Yeah, yeah.
So you still defeated. Well, no, it was like coming down. I'm like, are you going that way?
The worm
and I went the wrong way.
The worm didn't knock you off. It knocked me off once.
No.
I was busy killing ads and I turned around and it was sliding right at me. And it
What I was wondering. Like, is the worm able to, I was waiting for it like to come back at you and eat you and then you might need to like break free from it or something. So,
hey, that would have been a really cool gameplay.
Eat you and explore a whole other world down there.
Exactly. And so
they didn't do that, but they did have him like come across the actual map.
They did,
and
even kill the little enemy that were on the ground.
But like I said, that's a great example of something they could have done that would have been different.
So
we haven't done before.
They haven't done this before, though.
I felt
like you're saying they didn't do a different thing. So what they did is bad, and that I don't agree.
That's what I was trying to separate. They did your review.
They didn't do what I want. But they did this other cool thing. But they didn't do what I want, so it's bad. And that's what I take issue with.
No, but it's not different. Like,
no,
have we ever fought a worm before that would go through the middle of the map? This has not happened. Like, we don't have to come on the show and just say bad things all the time.
That is not what I'm saying. All I'm saying is, like, if you could change that out for if you could change that worm out for an ogre, it'd be the same fight.
He would slither across the map?
Or like Fogoth, he sits in the middle
you
of the
do
map.
You do just
like,
crit a boss. I mean, I understand
yeah,
what you're
like,
saying.
Yeah, like, it's not that
no,
different.
But no, you don't.
It's
because,
three phase.
Because it, yeah, it's three phase. Like, even with the wizard before, you had
that's
to, like...
four phase.
Yeah, you had to, like, get the orb and then kill a knight and then, like, disactivate
See,
the crystals and
I
stuff
actually
like
thought that. That
yeah.
was the more interesting fight.
It was. It like, was really well wizard? Done. Yeah. yeah.
Because,
and especially
like,
as
we
a solo player, you need to actually understand that they're trying to design the game with three in mind. But when you go into the campaign with three, it feels too easy. Mm-hmm. So there's no hard mode.
I mean,
which
I don't disagree.
Me
I
concern,
played it solo
right?
too.
Yeah. yeah.
But like what I'm saying is we haven't, at least that I can remember, we haven't had a boss encounter before where I had to destroy an ad, use that ad's like glowing orb thing to disable a shield and then damage the boss.
I will
that
give
was
you
an
that.
Interesting mechanic.
I will give you that. I like that mechanic a lot.
The worm thing was just too, like yeah. use this special weapon on it.
Yeah. I wish the worm
and don't let it hit you. Like, that's not interesting.
I'm playing
that's
God
every
of-
boss fight we've ever done.
Yeah, I'm playing God of War right now, and I will say that definitely the progression level of the bosses and what you're able to fight and what you get put into.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, you don't feel like there's a sense of actual, like, I'm getting stronger in Destiny. It's, I got weapons, and I'm going to shoot this thing.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Which
and
is so, a lot of fun.
So I get it. It's fun, but right now, away. Even the worm, like, when it was, like, vying towards me, I was like, okay, I'm just going to hide behind this, like, brick wall.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm just going to chill here.
So here's
and
the
I
thing.
Wish you would have maybe circled around, and I would have felt some sense of, like, oh, he might kill me. But for the
yeah,
most
I mean,
part,
man,
I... Yeah,
in the weeds here, man. We're like,
no, I mean,
going
this is good, though. This is good.
Gameplay,
you,
like,
you, got,
phase
you guys are
like,
all into like the campaign and the campaign gameplay, and there are
well,
actual that problems that we need to be discussing, and that is the grind. The way that they've decided to throttle the grind in Destiny 2, and that's sort of kind of in the sandbox topic of the show,
and we're also
is kind of an issue.
And preface that we are literally like 24 hours after the launch of it. Mm-hmm. So again,
Escalation Protocol, for example, recommended light 370. The game basically hits you at a wall around 345.
Soft.
You don't level up for doing heroic strikes, which are rated 350. Heroic strikes drop loot that is 335.
Yeah.
When you're doing it at 345 and it's rated for 350, that is bizarre mechanics that I
mean,
totally
they leaned into the feedback.
Though.
Everybody said it was too easy.
Yep.
If I'm doing a 350 encounter, I get 350 loot. That's how video games work.
No, not this
I
one.
Don't know.
You have to get a power
According
Ingram.
To Destin Laguerre, okay. yeah. game designer.
That's how every you play World of Warcraft, and I have
Played.
To bring this up. Like, really? You're saying yes, if I do
so
a
it
three,
drops blues at 335, right? Not legendary.
You don't get
though,
anything,
right?
Sean.
But what about legendary engrams?
The 330 or whatever your light's at, you get no power increase whatsoever for doing an encounter that is above your light level.
Yeah, you're not rewarded for that increased level cap yeah. unless
there
you're
is,
getting the power engram.
Yeah, the only way you get it is by doing three heroic strikes and then getting rewarded from Zavala, and then that's it for the week. And that's how they decided to incentivize
So it can be one
engrams.
Engram a week
you
at
have
the max?
You get one powerful engram for doing three heroic strikes from Zavala for the... The it's like flash
the weekly yeah
I mean,
or the
so
weekly,
what they've yeah. done like you know they went harder into the soft cap is 345 but it's strictly power engrams on a weekly churn. That's the only way you're going to level up. There's no like that's the point. It doesn't matter what you do otherwise. Once you've got your power engrams, it's not like
and
in other words, same thing when the raid layer launches. Just because it's a higher level, it's not like you're going to get bigger drops.
But that's so, not so the what, only right. weekly, right? You can acquire power engrams through other
the
activities, flashpoints, GVP,
the raid, the
yeah.
nightfall.
Okay,
the
so
arms.
At this like, point, there's like 11 of those, right?
Yeah, and you
yeah.
know what level you can
there's
hit?
A lot.
350.
So that's the max? 350 is the max for
if
the power engram?
So I have three events to do. I'm going to be like 350, 355 by the time I've completed all the encounters that I can do.
I haven't touched
maybe,
my power engram.
Maybe 360.
I haven't touched my power engrams. I'm about 344, 345. Mm-hmm. So like I stay away from them until I get – yeah, I'm trying to get to that soft cap at least and a little above, kind of like we did originally. And then I'll start dropping power engrams.
So here is my only sort of qualm with it. Escalation Protocol, you are totally locked out of until you're 37. Well, you can participate
in it. You can do it.
Sort of.
Yeah.
You're not going to pass.
Well, that's
you're not going to get a reward, but you can join in and you can activate it, but you're going to get wrecked.
Yeah.
And – that's what we wanted.
It
but
is.
But to advertise so heavily that Escalation Protocol is
like
a
new
piece
thing
of
to
content
play.
That you can play, and that's all that they've been talking about. Escalation Protocol, it's an endgame activity. By the way, after you complete that 2-hour campaign, you don't have a lot left to do. Go back and play that old content.
Well, go play our old content, and then maybe you'll be ready for the 370 encounter in like 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, is a big challenge. But I was feeling something.
Thinking back to Destiny 1, like that's kind of again what we wanted. Like if you think about each raid coming out, we grinded that raid. We grinded Dark Blow when it came out. We grinded Taken King, and we all said, you know what? I wanted the power level to be higher to be able to play those raids and incorporate that into my light level. That's what this is, indirectly, right? We're playing old raids. Old, you know, content and getting to light level. So to me, like, I'm not sure what else they're supposed to do, because if we grinded right up to 370 or 60 or whatever we did before, we'd be at the same spot that we were with the launch of Destiny 1, which nobody liked. So I don't know.
Yeah, no, there's exactly.
Like, I don't know the solution here. I mean, to me, it's like at least Escalation Protocol looks like something to achieve and beat that's difficult.
You can't even participate, though.
Well, you can participate, but you might not beat it.
You can shoot the bad guys who will one-hit you.
Right.
Basically.
But so unless, like, you potentially join other people or this higher-ranking people, like, I think there's something to be said for at least what they're thinking of now is, hey, you're not going to be able to beat all the content day one. And so I appreciate that. It does feel like an artificial stretch, though.
That speaks to
us. I know what you're saying.
What about the dad who doesn't play 400 hours of Destiny? They're just never going to experience Escalation Protocol.
Get good.
I think, didn't you say that last week?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But that's fair. I think they're trying to actually find a spot that balances that.
So I played through the first phase, defeated the first boss, but you have to do that 3 times to even get the first reward.
Yeah.
So it's like a huge, long event. They could have separated it out a little bit so that people could at least experience the easier version of it around 350. And then the hardest thing counter should be end-game activity.
So see,
but you're just saying you totally can't do this until you're 360.
I see a different problem, which is to be fair, I've not even touched Escalation Protocol.
Yeah.
But we knew it was an end-game activity, and I like that there's multiple end-game activities.
Yes.
Now, because that's the other side of this, which is there's – once the raid layer's done, what am I going to do? They have an actual big, difficult end-game activity. Yep. Frankly, I think that's where they put the bets in, because once you level up, what are you really going to do? Hopefully – you know, again, I haven't played it. Hopefully it's fun. What I see is what you're getting at before. There's not a lot in between. Do our campaign and then strikes from within the campaign that you're like, well, I already did that. If they had more strikes that were exclusive, I think that alone would help.
Not exclusive, just available.
And even just like a couple adventures. And like, again, I haven't played them all, but there's not like a number of unique adventures that really
Are pretty good, actually.
But are they more unique to go through?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
they took me to a whole new area of Mars, actually, that I haven't done that
see
before.
That's cool. And
I was like, oh, this is really neat.
Yeah. It sounds like in the middle, there's just not enough meat. You know, in the middle. But I actually from the sound of it, I like that you have to get good to get into Escalation Protocol. Because once you get there, hopefully it feels rewarding. You know?
Yeah, because to me, I think in 2 weeks, Escalation Protocol will eventually just feel like, hey, let's just group up with 3 people and crush this. So I'm glad at least right now it's, okay, maybe I pair up with some random people who are grinding it out. And magically, we beat it, and I'm under level.
Yeah, you aspire to be good enough.
I want to be clear. My issue is not with the challenge. My issue is with the challenge throughout the entire activity. It's just be 370 or don't even touch this.
Right.
And I'm like,
I hear you.
Hold up. Like, I just to get the level 3 reward, I have to play for like an hour.
But it's the same as the raid. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. Like, to get to the raid, you got to level up. So, like, if you look at it through that, that's all I'm saying. That is the type of activity they want it to be.
This is the hardest activity that you can do until we know what the raid layer level is.
Here's what I'm trying.
It's probably harder than the raid. If this is recommended 370, then the raid layer is probably going to be recommended 370.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. Like, I assume Escalation Protocol is harder. Mm-hmm. Here's what I'm wondering. Just assume that it's like the raid layer. Now we've got two and like Prestige Nightfall, and you've got these really hard things. What would you have maybe wanted to see in between that?
I told you exactly what I want. It should have been raid layer through level 3 is 350. Then you have a step up to like 365. Then you have a 370.
So you just wanted this activity. That was fine, the activity itself. It's just you didn't want to have the barrier to entry. Because now you got nothing to do until you get up there.
I literally have to go play old content. And like, I bought Warmind. I want to play Warmind content.
Right.
And none of that is going to help me get ready for Escalation Protocol, which they've been advertising heavily as the cool new thing to do.
Again, what I'm saying is I in design, again, since I haven't played it, I kind of like the idea that I got to make my way into it, but there's nothing in between, and that's the problem I have.
I beat that first boss. I was like, oh, my God, we did it. What are we going to get? Oh, nothing.
Yeah.
I have to do that 3 more times?
And I think what you're saying is ultimately what I keep mentioning, even with the campaign, like, why is there not difficulty settings? Why is there not, hey, you can tackle this, maybe the 5 or 7 or whatever the phase is, at like 330. Yeah. Then if you did 350, you get a different reward. Then if you went 370, you got a different reward, or 390. So then it feels like you can accomplish some of the tasks. But yeah, I know it's tough, man. Like, I don't know why they
don't have hard setting or anything like that anymore. We've played tons of God of War. I know we all have. I really enjoy playing on challenge mode.
Yeah.
Challenging, because it gets you to think about how you're doing stuff. Like, in theory, you play the campaign on harder. It gets you to be like, I need to use this exotic now.
Yeah.
Because this part's too hard. Like, why isn't that there?
And yeah, I felt that with like the Crota raid specifically, like, oh, when you're playing on hard mode, these wizards spawn, but you know, don't kill the hive knights, because if you do, wizards will come.
Like, strategy.
There's strategy. There was things that were different. So yeah, I really missed that component of Destiny 1, and I think that could solve a lot of what we're talking about actually. But
it's sort of a mixed bag. I'm trying to express that it's boring to level up once you hit 345. It's just like, go do the raid that you've done 900 times already to get those power engrams. Yeah. But at the same time, I understand long-term strategies. They want to like stretch out this content, but it feels falsely inflated because they've locked you out.
There's not enough new things to do.
You're getting at a core issue that we've talked about on the show many times. It's like, players who play Destiny don't mind the grind as long as the grind is fun. And you're hitting on the fact that for you, the grind is not fun right now, because there's this gap in between the thing that you want to do and where you're at right now. Mm-hmm. And all that's in between you is stuff we've already done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. That's a problem. What do you think Season 3 players that don't buy Expansion 2 feel like, you know, because they can level up now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they basically just got to go back to all the old activities and do that.
I mean, the truth, they probably feel like all of us feel the same.
Well, it's funny you mention that, because I was just talking to Zach and he's like, hey man, I'll be on Destiny for a good solid week and a half to 2 weeks here. And I was like, yep. And there's a lot of people like Zach who jumped into the game, who just wants to play it for the campaign, the story, get cool weapons,
the expansion,
come back maybe for, you know, the raid layers and stuff like that. And then he's like, all right, peace.
Right. That's how they look at it. They're like, I like the core gameplay. I played this. I checked out the raid. It was cool. I'm off to my next game.
Yeah. So there is a lot of people like that. And I think that's right now the struggle with Destiny, is there's a lot of folks like us who want to play it as like the hobby, which is that how they're classifying it. And yeah, that balance has always been difficult. Hobby versus, and I hate saying the word casual because I'm getting that out of the vocabulary, but not somebody who grinds as heavily as we do.
It really dawned on me when I was writing the review. I actually just finished it up this morning. What's really bothering me, and what the problem with Destiny is right now, is it's a loot problem. I don't have any legendary that I care about. Everything is all of an archetype. The armor is not unique in any way. It offers me no unique perks besides visual. And it's just a checklist. It's a checklist game. And that's not really fun to be chasing after.
Yeah. I mean, so I bought a PC over, like, the 2 weeks ago, and I've been playing a lot of PC. Guess what game I went back to? Diablo 3. And guess what? That game was made in 2012, and it's still amazing. Like, it keeps getting better. And I just...
That's comfort food for you.
That's not even comfort food. Like, it's legit, objectively, a really well-designed game, and it's perhaps the best. Like, you might make the argument that Borderlands 2 was as good, but, like, I think it's the best loot game there is out there, because that loop of just, here's a bunch of randomly assorted different gameplay modes that you do over and over and over again, but they're procedurally generated, so it's the same, but they're different every single time. But you go in, you test out this build, and if the build doesn't work out, you tweak the build, and then you tweak the armor, and then you go back and you're more efficient, and then you get better loot, and then you go back in and you're more efficient and get better loot, and that loop of just getting better and better and better, up to 70 different levels of difficulty, that's what Destiny is missing. And they can introduce all the weapons that they want and all the tweaks they want, but if the grind isn't fun, if that loop isn't fun, then who's going to come back?
Oh, I got that new chess piece that's a higher light level. What does it do that special? Nothing. Throw it in the trash that makes me stronger, the trash compactor that compacts it and raises my power level 1.
Yeah, like...
That's not fun. I'm not having fun with Destiny, and that sucks to say.
Like... What Destiny needs is a little bit, on the loot perspective, what Destiny needs is a little bit more depth. Like, there needs to be that Diablo 3 equivalent where I'm aiming to get 6-piece set of my particular class armor because it gives me some incredibly overpowered thing. Like, so I have a 6-piece set in Diablo that grants me 1500% increased damage.
Yeah.
When I activate one of my cooldowns. And so obviously I want to get all those pieces because it makes me like 20 times more efficient.
So
Destiny has nothing like that.
I was speaking earlier about specifically the legendary loot problem. Let's talk about the exotics and the sandbox changes. Exotics are really, really fun.
Really
Graviton
good.
Lance, sweet business. What have been some of your favorites?
Graviton network? Lance, well, the worm husk. Oh, sorry. Do you have the hunter helmet? I got to get it real quick.
Oh, yeah. It's the worm husk crown. You're
right. Worm husk crown, yeah. Just that right there alone as a PvP player, being able to regenerate my health on Shade Step. Thank you.
Yeah. That was needed for hunters. That when I saw the awesome. Perk, I'm like, the hunters should just...
Yep,
they need to solve
it. So I did play a little bit of PvP. I'll get into that, but yeah, Graviton Lance and then Skyburner's Oath. I just rocked that a little bit for
fun.
Like, yeah, I think that as a Titan and a Warlock, that'll be a fun weapon. Just hovering into the sky.
Can you combine Wormhusk Crown with like Night Stalker, so you go invis and you get health?
Yes,
regen?
I do.
Not tried that, but that's crazy.
No, it's really good.
Not already OP.
Awesome. Just the sound design. There was a bunch of sound design tweaks for the weapons as well too. So yeah, playing through it and seeing Graviton Lance, I actually played with a
ton. My favorite one.
It's by far the best weapon, and it's really good in PvE and PvP. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, yeah, that sense of discovery when a game is new. I will say that, exploring the exotic sandbox, exploring some of the different, like, you know, helmets and perks and stuff like that, I really wish there was more of that.
Yeah.
The Masterwork thing is good. That's coming down the line, so we know that's in the pipeline too. So, yeah, there are a lot of things to chase that are positive. But, I'm interested to see what you think too, because you haven't played that much lately.
Any exotics you guys want to talk about?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the first one I grabbed out of my inventory was, or out of my vault, was Graviton Lance. Because, I saw the video on Twitter and was like, that does look really cool.
And it chirps, so, it makes this weird sound.
Yeah, and I love the feel of it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Destiny's always been really good with that. All of the weapons feel really good to like shoot and play with, but like that was the one that I played the most with. I mean, I played a lot with minimal title, but that's the same.
Yeah, Sunshot was a little bit less impressive than I thought it would
be. Yeah, I think it's cool, but it's
cool when you hit the guys.
They really got to be grouped up.
I can never aim Sunshot that well. I don't know if it's the
Come on, I can never aim.
That's a clip.
No, with Sunshot, it's just when you're ADSing, it's something to do with the sights. It just does
it does have
feel,
a really big,
it's a crazy huge recoil as well. Yeah. So there's a combination of that. But when
I still
playing,
like it,
it's good in PvP.
It was not like Graviton Lance good.
But it is really well done. If you can actually see it detonate other guys around, so
I went around getting some groups. They definitely someone will like explode and knock into somebody else.
Yeah.
But they got to be close enough with. Without it, it's just kind of a big explosion.
Well,
so.
It's great.
It feels like Dragonfly almost in some ways, but it's cool. It's just not like the other ones.
What were your exotic picks?
Crimson, man. Let me tell you. Check out Crimson.
Yeah.
Play it through the PvE campaign. I've heard actually in PvP, not bad if you can get a multi-kill. But so Crimson's cool now because, first of all, they just adjusted the way that it's fired. Bigger clip.
Yeah.
But just the way that it recovers between it, what they described it as, I think, is a little like the feeling of the pace of, say, a better Devils is now Crimson, you know, feels, even though it's bursting, it feels closer to that.
Yeah.
So number one, that. But number two, just going through with the Thrall coming at you, it was totally Crota's End all over for me, where it was just like I was red-deathing them with my Crimson now.
Yeah.
But getting health regen and mag refill is just, like, awesome. I used it all the way, like, through the latter half, and it was actually a lot of fun. I really did not like Crimson before, and that's why I've – kind of acting, like not acting, but I am so surprised. I'm like, wow, Crimson's cool now.
And that's supposed to get a Masterworks range buff. So I think for PvP, when you get that
could be cool.
That's going to be good. Did you guys actually get some of the drops for the little elements that actually allow
I have not. Okay. People have been getting like Tracker Cannon in the wild. You just kind of get them.
A catalyst?
You have to do this.
I have not. Yeah, you can get them from public events and some other places, I think.
I didn't get it either.
Has anyone messed around with Sturm and Drang?
Not yet. But it's interesting. It's one of those more complicated, like, is this cool to use?
Yeah.
Where like Drang is refilling Sturm with like
the
an 80%
precision
shot.
It's not cool to use.
Have you used it?
No, but like there's some weapons out there that are just not cool. And those are two of them.
So
even if they were if they were really good, like I still wouldn't care because
it basically one shots if you get the perk.
It doesn't matter. Like Destiny is a game where you get style points for everything you wear and everything you equip. And those two weapons
are
not cool. You lose style points.
Oh, the cool world. Well, the cool fact.
We are over on time.
Only last question.
PvP, so go ahead.
Can somebody explain Prismatic Matrix to me?
Oh, I looked at that and was like, is this?
Wait, I'm being serious. I was like so busy. I paused before I cashed in.
Uh-huh.
So you have a facet that you can
That's
turn
a freebie.
It. Do you turn it in? But should I do it
now? I couldn't even do that.
Or does it? So does
is there anything you want?
Here's my question. When I cash it in Prismatic Matrix, this is at Eververse with Tess.
Yeah.
When I cash it in the Prismatic Matrix, do I get a drop immediately?
Yeah.
So
you
okay.
get a drop from that chart.
As but soon
I highly recommend if you care about something on there, do all the white ones first.
Right.
Because so, it'll remove those from your chart.
So this is what I was going to say.
A chance of getting what
you
want.
Probably don't want to drop this in until the end of the week. You have a chance. You can use it once
a week.
You
can stack it for three. You get one per week. Actually, I got two this week.
You can get up the three.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay. So wait till the end of the week is what I'm hearing, if you care that much. But yeah. it will guarantee you an Eververse drop out of that Prismatic Matrix.
You get
right?
so many of those engrams. Like I probably yeah. got like 10 of those white ones.
Same thing. I walked yeah. into test and I was like, wow, I have seven.
Yeah.
But seriously, it was kind of confusing for me. I was yeah. nervous to turn it in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, go to Tess.
No, I mean, I did. Like, I went and I was like, what is this? And yeah. at that point, I think I'd already cashed in.
Freely.
So, yeah, but like, so the thing you're talking about turning into Tess, yeah. that's those white sort of.
The white engrams.
What do they call
no, they used to be called bright engrams.
I don't know. Now they just have now. New.
Something else engrams.
I forget
right?
what the new engrams are called, but there's new engrams, of course, with the new season.
Yeah.
But you get, check your inventory. You have a prismatic facet, I think it's called. Which above all the loot in Tess, there's a big purple thing that's called the Prismatic Matrix, and you yeah. jump into it and inspect it, and there's a big core at the center that you turn in this facet,
yeah.
and you're guaranteed one of those drops when you do it.
Yeah,
yeah, because I kind of read
within that week,
like mm-hmm. I kind of read that it was yeah. like that, but like I couldn't. I could only access the parts of the loot. Like, I couldn't, like, redeem anything. Yeah. I don't know. I have to take a couple.
You're sorry. It in the middle. It's strange, but it's right. positive.
Sorry, last yeah. point of clarity. It's the her inventory in there is that is set for the week. Mm-hmm. So, meaning you can use these whenever, I think. Yeah. You can save up to three, but meaning you probably just want to, like, look at stuff within that week, and if something looks good, drop one in.
Well, you go into the Prismatic Matrix chart, and it shows you what you can get. Cash in all your white ones. It'll gray out the ones that you have already gotten through the white engrams. And then if there's something you want to take a roll at, you drop your Prismatic Matrix in there. Yeah. Potentially you can get it.
Yeah, I mean, the goal is much like Xur, there's a way to get, what is it, the faded engram.
Knockoff table. Yeah.
You yeah. can guarantee that you get exactly. something from a test that you're chasing. So, yeah. okay, yeah. that clears that up.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The final topic, we are a little over on time. So I want to give CJ a chance to talk about PvP. I played a little bit. We got Valor. We got Glory. Did yep. you get Redrick's Claymore yet? Redrick's Claymore?
Yeah, I just picked it up at the vault there.
Some people have. Somehow.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. So I played a few matches of Glory last night. Shout out to Illegalant and Teddy. They jumped in for a few. I will say Valor is nice just to have a rank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Going in, seeing this number go up. That was the itch thing that I didn't have in PvP that now is solved for just casual. I think they had some issues with some of the matchmaking things. They tweeted it out, but I don't know if you saw that.
How do you online. See it for everyone, though? So when you jump into Valor, how do you see
you,
who's
so what? You pick competitive or whatever.
No, how do you see CJ's rank if
so
I'm on the other
thing.
Side?
That is the other challenge. That's where Sean is not going to be excited because the issue right now is you
equip
have to
emblem.
Equip yeah, an emblem
okay,
in order
have to, do that.
To see what somebody else's rank is. But when you go in
solution if you suck don't wear the emblem
but that's the thing I mean they're intentionally doing that to limit the you know hostility and some of that toxicity like so that is kind of the issue. I wish it was maybe there for Glory because Glory you want to actually Kevin put it best peacock a little bit you mm-hmm. want to kind of say hey check me out and when you can actually take your emblem off you're right it kind of nullifies that a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it's nice. At least there's something to chase and there is a visual rank for you internally, even though you can't see it.
Yeah, I wish they just people. Put it on the board. I've been saying that since day
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
I don't see why not.
At this point, they're not changing the scoreboard
no.
until Destiny 3.
I got,
or
not.
I will say this. I got one of the new maps. Have you played on any?
Yeah, I actually liked it. It's a Clovis Bray.
It's a Mars map.
Yes, mm-hmm. it's a Mars map. It was really good. I liked the fact that it was very kind of close quarters inside when you're walking around, but then mm-hmm. there's these two sort of larger quarters. You can have these range distance fights. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I feel like a pretty good map.
I like it. It feels well balanced.
Yeah, it does.
Sounds
yeah.
like Emperor's Respite almost. Like,
yeah, I mean.
Sort of looks like it.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. and it's, the got one a, I play. It's got a visual aesthetic almost like Blind Watch slash there was the last map that was almost Warmind themed of Rise of Iron. That was in there. So it's got that kind of vibe to it on Mars. But it played really well. So yeah. I'm interested to see what kind of game modes will work well on that map. But and then the other one's a PlayStation exclusive right. map, so I haven't.
But what did you think of competitive? No radar. That
oh,
whole deal.
Yeah. So I said this last week.
That is Glory.
Glory, yes. Mm-hmm. Glory is the competitive. I really wish that Glory would feature either just straight Clash or potentially a classic elimination. I'm a little bit lukewarm on Countdown and Survival as well, because I think Steven said it, you know.
Yeah, I don't.
I did a Countdown match and the other person just hit. And
it's limited to those.
Yeah, and they right came up by me and shot me, and I was like, all
right. It is only going to be, Survival or Countdown.
And I reached out to them and asked. It is. And so that's the thing. Like, obviously, that is just a playlist thing. They could potentially rotate something else in there, and there's no voting system, so I think I'm interested to see what most people let us know in the comment section. Actually, if you thought of playing Glory, what would you most likely want to see in that gameplay type? Because I'm interested to see.
Everybody wants to see Clash and Control.
Yeah, Clash and Control, dude.
So I
make it competitive.
I understand why they're doing that right now. Like I said,
not enough players.
Well, no, I mean they need to separate, like. These are all modes that require team-based communication. There's rezzing, you know, not in Survival, but there's rezzing in Countdown. In Survival, there's strategy to stay alive versus every other mode is just run around and shoot people. Requires zero communication.
Yeah. It means if your favorite mode is Control and you're really good, you can't compete at that level on your favorite mode. Just fundamentally, I don't
support that. So that is the issue. Right now, they took out Elimination.
You know what game has Clash? Counter-Strike. Totally not competitive, right, Sean?
And
it's not that I don't believe that it would. I'm just saying they're really limiting your choices.
Yeah, why they've chosen to just lean into those two game types for competitive, I'm not sure. Like, that's something that I would love to know.
Especially when they aren't the best for competitive, like in Destiny. Like, we've talked about how those game modes don't bode well for team-based PvP because, like you said, in Countdown or in Survival, everyone just team shots and hides because you don't want to expend lives. And then in Countdown, there's this confusion of like, oh, I'm on offense or I'm defense because it switches every time. Like, why is it that way? Like, Countdown works for Counter-Strike because you play all of the rounds on one side at first. You're like in this mentality of like, I'm defending sites or whatever versus I'm attacking them. But just like, the movement and the speed of Destiny works so well for Clash and Control.
Yeah.
And it does require teamwork. So I don't know why they would exclude those two from the competitive playlist.
They have acknowledged that a lot of the PvP aspects need rework and they're working.
Or at least give me the choice. Like, you can include them in there and then allow me to queue up for whichever mode I want to.
And that's what I've said. Like, you know, and Halo 3 and Reach did that. Like, here are a few options. Which game type do you want to play? I think for me, like, Elimination was just so easy to understand. Rez somebody if they're down, you know, there's no token, there's no anything. And then when all three members die, you're done. That's what was nice about Elimination. There's a lot of rules in each of these game types that I think are difficult. But that's the thing. It requires communication.
So is it the mode for you or not?
I mean, I'm going to play it because of the reward incentive, but that's what I said last week. I'm going to grind to get, you know, Redrick Claymore, but then after I have that weapon, will I still feel the need to play those game modes for that score? And I don't think so. I think I'll probably end up playing more Valor after I get the weapon because Clash and Control.
All right. We got to wrap it up, guys. I want to get your final take, but I want to remind everybody that we'll also be doing a raid run on Friday, hopefully, if I can get light level ready.
Yep.
Otherwise, it's going to be real rough after that opening encounter. So that's going to be this Friday, 10 a.m. on IGN.com. Yeah, CJ is also going to be playing, right?
Yeah, going to be going up. And when do we do our little private matches?
I got to get through this review first.
All right.
And then we will have to do it shortly after.
Okay, we'll do it
after. Save it for later, boys.
Yeah, we'll save it for later.
So this is the Friday episode of Fireteam Chat. We'll be back next week. Final note, guys, what is your take thus far on Warmind? CJ?
I liked the campaign. I thought the mechanics of it were really good. It's definitely a play it solo by yourself campaign. For me, I'm going to keep coming back to PvP. I like a lot of the exotics. I like a lot of the tuning. But I definitely am excited now for September, which is crazy because you see, obviously, like, this is paving the way for September. Yep.
John?
I was very lukewarm on the campaign, but I do think that there are a lot of bright spots to look forward to. And like CJ, I'm very excited about what is coming in September. And like CJ, I am very excited to kind of jump into PvP and see what works best, especially now that I'm playing on PC and it's basically a whole new ballgame.
Right.
Yeah, it feels good. Brent?
I'm feeling refreshed. You know, it's a short campaign, but like in a game that I really do love, and I felt after Destiny 2 launched, I felt this sort of void right now. Yeah. You know, I'm in the honeymoon phase. And so at least I do feel a bit refreshed. I haven't faced the grind issue yet, yeah. but I'm looking forward to Escalation Protocol, looking forward to the raid lairs. And mm-hmm. I like the sandbox like exploration that CJ was talking about. So in this moment, mm-hmm. it's feeling good. And I reflect on when Destiny 2 launched, I had that shine and then it wore off. So we'll see. I have a lot more to do is what I'm saying. Yeah. But yeah. at the outset, I'm feeling good. I feel like there's some, there's a glimmer that is back to it, at least for now.
Glimmer?
We'll see how long it lasts. Gonna...
Capped. Wait, 100,000.
Yeah. See how that raid lair is, you know?
Yeah, definitely. For my full impression, you can check out our review in progress on IGN.com right about now, actually. That's it for this week, everybody. Thank you for joining me here in the studio. And until next time,
Guardians out.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.